celebrates at 5:08. Now let you guys come and drink a few of the cans. Appreciate you being here today. See what all you all have wanted to discuss and talk about, which we're happy to see. So we're out on ahead.
Okay, well, I thought we would start out just kind of introducing everyone, because I know that I recognize names and faces, but I don't know if everyone knows me or if I know everyone. So I thought that would just be a good way to start out. I can go first. So I'm Candy Graves. I this year am festival president for Sellers for Celebrates. We rotate the president every year. It's an elected position within the board of the festival committee. I've been a part of the committee for about 10 years, so I've been helping for a considerable period of time, making sure that the festival is ongoing, taking ownership of a lot of it. That's who I am, Rachel.
I'm Rachel Dreyer, and this is my second year of being affiliated with the festival. Last year I helped with one of the committees and ran the volleyball tournament last year with Six Pack Volleyball. And I'm getting a little bit more involved in the festival this year, looking forward to making some changes and make some things happen within the festival.
I'm Randy Flick. This is my first year volunteering, and I'm heading up the car show section.
That's my job.
All right.
Well,
I've got flyers if anyone's interested, by the way.
Yeah, they look
really good. They look really good. Right here, he's big into the car show.
I'm already sharing one on Facebook. Page.
That's right. That's great.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
We got flyers too. Thank you for all of them. They came out really good.
Yeah.
I'll give you a look at them.
Terry Langford, District 4 Councilman.
Brad Amos, District 3.
That's our Mackey. I'm at large.
I'm Charles Smith, I'm Chief Manager.
I am Brandy Mobley, District 2 Councilperson.
Got my boy.
That's my boy, you want to introduce yourself?
I think you just did.
Jake Elder, town attorney.
Okay. He thinks everyone knows.
Everybody
does know. Well, I just met you today to be there, so I don't know. All right. So I don't know how many people actually know the history of the festival and how it started. I assume most of you probably do, but I thought maybe it would be good to just kind of go over it really quick as far as the history that we have kept with the festival. Started in 1990, the town had come to Susan Miller and a couple of other people and said, hey, we want to have a festival, we need people to do it, will you do it? And she had a spirit and she said yes. So that was in 1990 when the first festival started, and we've been ongoing since then. So that's just kind of a really super brief history of what the festival is, how it started. We are a 501c3 nonprofit, so we are a business operating here in Sellersburg. Has anybody been to, show of hands, who was at the festival last year? Anyone? So you guys saw some parts of it at least. It's been growing. Does anybody have any questions about that? Anybody? tell me I'm doing it wrong. Tell you the wrong history.
I mean, from my standpoint, I noticed that, we get a lot more booths to support the sponsors, rentals or whatever.
Yep.
Like your, way you had the food, opportunities was all pretty, there together.
Yep.
You had a couple of little groups over by where our police department was set up. Like I said, I just think, all in all, that I think that you have traffic's probably your biggest concern, of course.
Okay, no worries.
I remember leaving coming out the back way, and it was backed up all the way here coming off 65, and I think your first piece of entertainment was about ready to start at 7:30. But other than that, I know we
police chief has discussed a few different times of the concerns of all the parking issues and everything. I think y'all was probably able to probably work with Mr. Dover across the street, be able to utilize some of his area for parking. So, and I'm sure y'all have got that set up again moving forward. So, I didn't see any, too much of an issue with it, so.
Yeah, you're right. Parking is a pain point that we have, and it's something that, you know, we work with volunteers, a lot of cheer groups or sports groups that come in and do parking for a donation, scouts. So parking is a pain point, and it's one that we're going to focus on a little bit more this year. So I agree with what you're saying 100%. We know that.
Everybody wishes the last minute, you know, to get here on a Friday. You know, everybody's off work. It's hard to be able to plan something on a Friday more than ever than it is on a Saturday. So, as long as you got some good weather, it helps. So.
I got a question, Brad, and they may not know about it. Was the first Salisbury Celebrates on the high school grounds?
Yes, it was.
Yes.
And do you know how many years ago it was?
It would have been 1990. So it would have been 1990. And I know that it was there. I'm not sure how many years exactly, but I know it was there for a few years in conjunction with Art and Speed Park. Art and Speed Park used to be the same thing. Salisbury Celebrates. We were all a big happy family. And then it essentially outgrew. Kim Johnson might tell you other things. I wasn't a part of it then, so I can't tell you all that history. But it was a split between Salisbury Celebrates and Art and Speed Park. They became their own. We outgrew the parking lot at the high school, and so that's when it was moved.
All right, so, and then it moved just the one time to Silver Creek Park?
As far as I know, it just moved the one time.
Okay. The origins of it was someone contacted Susan Miller, or Susan Miller contacted?
Someone, and I don't know who.
Someone, okay.
Okay. This was from Susan herself.
Right.
She's since passed, but
right.
She told me that, yes, somebody within the town had reached out to her and said this is something the town wanted to do. And I guess they didn't have the resources or time resources available to do it. And asked her if it was something that she could gather a group of volunteers together to accomplish.
Okay, and I don't know if is this high school, is within Salisbury city limits, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so, but where it is now is outside of the city limits?
Most of it.
Most of it, okay. Part of it isn't?
Part of it isn't. The front part of the parking lot stuff is Salisbury.
The parking lot inside the entrance gate, is that Salisbury? Mm-hmm.
So, Chief, how much overtime did we spend last year at the town for Salisbury Celebrates?
Close to 20,000.
20,000?
For my police officers, I can't speak for the rest.
For the entire, for security and traffic for the entire weekend, 20,000?
Yes.
Charlie, how much did we donate to the Salisbury Celebrates?
We had a financial donation of $5,000.
So, we're
on paper cash and
hey, sir.
I can't remember what the number was.
So, we're 25,000 in plus garbage, removal, all that other gas.
Incidental.
Okay, incidentals is probably plus another couple thousand dollars more. So, roughly $30,000. And my other question is do you use the CelebrateCelebrates.org website? The show celebrates August 24th and 26th of 2023.
Is that our website? Is that your question?
It is CelebrateCelebrates.org.
That is our website, yes.
And it shows here celebrates August 24th and 26th. So those are the dates this year?
That would be the dates.
Right. And you're aware that Ms. Webster is no longer the council person in District 1?
I am very much so aware. She was a portion of the festival. And a volunteer.
Okay.
She's so still that's volunteer? Why her face is there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you need more volunteers?
Right now, we would always take volunteers is the answer to your question. Right now, because I had put out a very public call to the public asking for volunteers, we are doing pretty good. We have a lot of new faces, a lot of new ownership of parts of the festival.
so we're doing really good.
And you, the pain points are volunteers or money, so you're doing good volunteers, right?
I have that as a separate discussion, so that we can talk about that in a minute, and we can get to that in a moment. I think it's a greater conversation, which is why it's there.
Okay, is that where we're at?
We were, as far as I know, we were still talking about the history of the festival. I can go over the bylaws really quick.
Sure, I mean, it's your all's festival, so, I mean, it's your bylaws, this town board wouldn't have anything to do with
right,
with your
but
bylaws.
There was a reason why it was on the agenda.
Okay.
So that's why it's there.
Feel free.
Yeah, okay. So, and it kind of goes along with, is it Randy or would you?
I'm Randy.
Randy, yeah. Okay, so it's Randy's.
You, either way.
He's been called a lot worse.
I'm sure. So, you kind of had brought up the conversation about where the festival was, and that's why that was actually a good lead in to talking about some of our bylaws. We, as part of the festival, this year, I actually completely rewrote our bylaws, and you all, I'm sure, understand that is the legal limits within which the organization is ran and organized. With that, this is within our bylaws. The reason why I left it here is to just have a greater conversation, because I know that there was a concern about location and being within the town limits, which I think is kind of what you were bringing up yourself. So within our bylaws, we have it outlined what we are to do as a festival and what we are not to do. And this shouldn't be, if you've been to the festival, no surprise to you. It says that, you know, you can read it here, a fun family friendly annual event that includes a parade, children's carnival rides, festival entertainment, a business luncheon, craft and food vendors, a balloon glow, volleyball tournament, and any other events that we may add. So, logistically, and I know Charlie's brought this up to us several times about the possibility of moving the festival into closer town limits. Our concern is logistics and being able to continue all of the festival with which it has been operated for the last couple of decades at minimum. There's just not a logistically safe place, large enough place that we could have it. We've listened to recommendations from others within the town, citizens. I think Charlie's given suggestions in the past. It would require completely changing everything that the festival is and has done. So that's kind of why I wanted to bring that up. Within our bylaws, we need to have a balloon glow. We need to have children's entertainment, the carnival ride area. That is pivotal for the festival to continue. It's something that's been going on for a lot of years. So that's kind of how I wanted to bring that up and discuss that for just a moment, because I know that that has been a large concern with the town, and I've been hearing feedback that way. So I wanted to bring it up and allow you guys to talk on it some more as well.
What's a major concern? Traffic or space?
Well, I mean, under its current format, we couldn't post it. We don't have space. I mean, if we close down Albany Street from Maple to Penn, and Utica from Maple to Hangar, I mean, we have access. We could do some of this, but we cannot do all of it. And obviously, parking is going to be a concern across the board. I think when I did the general look at the concert in the park that we're going to do, we can come up with maybe 5 acres of parking. That's what everybody lets us use it, depending on the time of day we have it, like on Saturday evening when the businesses are out, like not open, type of thing. So, again, I think that conversation was back when the celebration is continuing on the way it is. Is it going to change? Do they want to change? Whatever, if they want to. I know we've all heard conversations about the street fair. Bring back the street fair. If we want to go to that direction, I think maybe then that's a little bit more of a viable option. But obviously, like we can't do a blue ball. We don't have the space for that. We might be able to squeeze in some carnival rides, but probably not to the scope
Can't do the volleyball tournament.
You know, so I mean, there's a handful of stuff of that nature I was looking to do.
And Charlie, it's called Sellersburg Celebrates. It's not Celebrates, it's Sellersburg Celebrates. That is our legal name.
What did I say?
Celebrates.
I apologize, that's an abbreviation.
It's okay.
All right, here, appreciate you. So, there you go.
Yeah, and you had brought it up, I think, with Rachel. We had, I don't know if Charlie said, but we had a meeting. I wasn't able to attend because I wasn't well. But I didn't want to pass that to anybody. So Rachel did that. And you had brought that up as a concern then as well, discussing the possibility of moving it. And it's not that we don't want it within the Sellersburg town limits. It's that logistically, we don't see a solution there.
And we would like to keep the format and everything the way it is because it's been such a success. Changing it to something that it's not, I think, would be a complete failure. That's my opinion. And that's the hardest part, trying to come up with a good spot that's going to accommodate everything to move it within the town and just don't see how that's possible.
Well, beyond that, it's within our bylaws that we are written in that we are to do it a specific way and have certain entertainment throughout the festival. I know that that's been a very big topic of conversation amongst people off the side and maybe during meetings, I don't know, but I know it's been a huge topic, and it's not that we don't want it to happen that way, it's that logistically we don't see a solution.
Yeah, I can see if we had like a fairgrounds area,
sure.
If we had a property. You know, I guess, just to speak from my experience, people ask me about, they'll ask the question, well, what does Sellersburg make off of Sellersburg Celebrates? And I'm like, I don't think we're making money.
No.
I think it's kind of a loss, but
yeah.
Yet for vendors and people and businesses here,
they make money.
Yeah, they do. And that's good.
But, and our organization doesn't make any money either. It's a nonprofit.
I understand that. And, you know, government is a nonprofit. Entity.
Sure.
Not from my point of view.
We go the other way, but, and people ask me that question, and I'm like, I don't think we're making money.
So,
well,
why
is it in Sellersburg? Because we don't have a facility.
Sure.
So, let's say if we knew somebody at the airport, we could have it at the airport.
They got a space.
I understand that, but so would Silver Creek Township, so it wouldn't be any different.
Right.
It would be the same deal. They said, hey, we'll rent you this space for the weekend for whatever. And I'm not saying we want to make money from it. I think businesses here do.
Mm-hmm.
And, sometimes it seems like, and we're going backwards, because we have to spend money to have it here.
Sure.
But we really don't. You know, over the course of our administration, we're going to lose $100,000 on Sellersburg Celebrates. The vendors are going to make some money, but we don't get any of the vending money. I don't know what the in the black is for Silver Creek Township Park. I'm sure they make some money.
No, they don't either.
They don't make one penny?
No, as far as I know, the answer is no. The township, we do not give them anything. They allow us the use of the park, and they actually do give financial contributions to us as well, so that we can have some extra entertainment and things like that too. Which I feel like you were just leading me into every single point
if you answer the questions, I don't ask them, but if you don't answer my question, I'm going to ask them. I'm very guilty of asking questions.
I love it. I appreciate it. I love it.
Go ahead.
You did, because that's kind of the objective of what I wanted to talk about. So really, the only reason I had even asked Charlie or anyone here to have this meeting was my whole objective is to find a way that the town and the festival can be more amicable, more peaceful. I know that there's been issues for us with some other volunteer members, that there's some arguments between. That's not something that I hold to me, so that's my objective here. I want to know how that we can make the festival better for you within our own constraints as well. You know, we are ruled by our bylaws, so there are things that we have to do. Asking things like moving the location of the festival just, you know, we've said isn't logistically possible. But I want to have that open and honest communication with all of you and to see what it is that we can do moving forward to make things better for you all as well. So it's an opportunity to air grievances if you have it. I always welcome constructive feedback. Again, constructive. I appreciate and welcome that anytime I have it. But if you don't tell us what your feedback is, then we can't, or your concerns or anything like that, then we can't help you either. So that's the whole objective that I have here. And, you know, I have in here too, like, not to go back to the bylaws, but, you know, it's the festival hopes to attract regional attention to the Clark County and surrounding areas, celebrating Sellersburg's deeply rooted traditions and diverse community, thus stimulating the economy through implementation of these activities. I wrote that. I wrote those words. That is what I want for the town. That is what I want for the festival. I want it to be a partnership between us in some way. Okay. Whatever that means or looks like, fine. Maybe you just come to me and, you know, Brad, you were suggesting bands, like, you were suggesting sponsors and talking to me about that. That was perfect. That's wonderful. That shows that there is some open communication. That's what I want.
Well, so, like I said, I think a lot of it is there was a certain group of people that ran Sober Celebrates. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, your bulldog has passed on. Someone that I thought a lot of, and
thank
Susan
you.
Miller. Susan Miller, you know, she was a very intimidating woman.
Yes.
And she pretty much always got her way.
That's what I like.
So now that there is a new group, and it looks like I said, it's very exciting to see when you bring on new people to get more involved. I think what we're looking for, and I'm not speaking for everybody, but I know through some discussion, is that, you know, now that Bob and Sarah is pretty much, moving on with the Rock Creek thing, it's obvious that they want to continue to do something up there at their church. I know Charlie and that Rachel and I, we sit down and was talking about, and we have this beautiful park over at Wilkerson Park. So we're celebrating. I'm sure Cherry Curley has told you this in the past, but you all, from the first 4 or 5 years of money, you all have had excess money left over,
yeah.
And you all was kind enough, the group
yeah,
committee
yeah.
was kind enough to put some new soil in there so
yeah.
we can grow some nice grass, which we have.
And I'm glad you brought that up. So I'm going to pause you really quick for a moment because you had also brought that. It's good because I wanted to mention this. No. So the funding that the festival has, if we have anything left over at the end of the festival, which sometimes we do, and it's maybe a couple thousand dollars, I could give you guys access if you wanted to look over budgeting. Give that to you. The idea is for us to use that towards something for the town. I think it's been a number of years since we've been able to do that. Some of our volunteers have been, we've said that our volunteers have been dwindling, and I can see why. Having been there for the last 10 years, I'm just a very stern person, so I'm not easily scared. So some of those people have scared folks off, and I don't see that being a problem moving forward. I actually wrote it within the bylaws that there is a behavioral type of conduct that is expected of volunteers too. So that's new. And again, I'm happy to also send the bylaws if you guys want to breeze through any other if you have questions about how it's organized, happy to do that too. But to bring up that point is, that is our objective. If we have money left over, that's what we want to do, is to use it somehow for the town in some way. We did have some conversation this year about maybe setting it up as like a scholarship fund for the schools in the area. Mm-hmm. We would, however, open that up to, you know, St. Paul, who's in Sellersburg, but not technically part of the school system, and Rock Creek, who's also not technically part of the school system, but being able to serve the community in that way. We're having conversations we haven't figured out what that looks like yet. Even paying off school lunches, that was another idea that some of our group came up with too, just to take care of the kids in the community. Glad you brought that up.
No, yeah, like I said, I mean, as far as the giving the money back to the town, I don't think that's right. I think our whole motivation is if
we're going to use the Sullenberg name to have this celebration, is then how can we sit there and work together as a team to do something in the town of Sullenberg, not outside the town limits.
Sure.
So I think that's why, you know, maybe consider having a luncheon out here, you know, bring in a tent and have a luncheon here at Wilkerson Park.
Sure.
You know, I know it's hard, and I know it's expensive to bring in good guest speakers.
Yes.
I mean, you're not going to be fortunate enough.
Actually, to pause you there, we haven't paid out for a guest speaker for a year, so most of the volunteers have time. And we did have some conversation also about potentially bringing in, that's a good idea, the luncheon in to the park or something. That would be a lot greater of a cost, and so budgeting and sponsorships being something that, I mean, we don't have a whole lot of money. It's the festival, it's a nonprofit, so I think it's something we would consider as long as we had the finances to back it up.
As far as, like I said, I think that was the biggest thing. Like I said, I mean, as far as the luncheon thing, you know, I think it's great that you have all people want to donate their time and funds like that, or someone sponsors a speaker. But I just, my experience since, whether I was on the town council or whether I was in the printing business or whether I was whomever, someone's guest, I just know that I've watched, you know, the crowd get smaller and smaller. And I know that the conversations maybe have gotten a little bit more, I guess, sub-oriented, I guess, in some whatever format. But you know, I mean, we have more than one person other than Alice Fletcher and Kentucky Fried Chicken. Business-wise, I know that she's always been a great sponsor, great, great family, great person. But I just don't know if, you know, you all ever asked, you know, another.
Yeah. I've actually personally asked Neil and Patty's in the past several times. They declined every time. I've actually reached out personally to other businesses that have either it was cost prohibitive or they declined. Neil and Patty's is one that they declined.
I didn't know Cracker Barrel was ever an option.
No.
Or anything like that.
Not in the capacity that we get from KFC.
Like I said, that was just some of my thoughts. So. I'm sure some others have some other things they may want to consider. So
I think it'd really be nice if we did kind of class it up a little bit, like as part of everything that we talked about. That would be really nice. I think it just comes down to cost and what that looks like. And
it comes down to cost and volunteers. So this year we have some new people who have taken ownership in the luncheon. The luncheon is not going to be hugely different. This year we're going to have the same location. Going to be KFC again. I'm sorry. It's because they're still learning. They're learning how. Yeah, I actually encourage them to reach out to others, but they are learning how the organization is ran and how to do it. So they weren't fully comfortable making huge changes this year. I don't know if you know Angie Fenton. She's our guest speaker this year. She's with X School magazine. So she'll be. Yeah, most a lot of people are familiar. So we've asked her to come and speak for us this year. So that's a little bit different than what we had done previously. I had challenged them, but they were uncomfortable with branching out too far, especially since it's the first time they've ever been to it and they're new volunteers. And
sure.
So that's good feedback. I actually have a development nonprofit fundraising background myself. I was the marketing development director for Goodwill Southern Indiana here recently. I haven't been there for a number of years. They merged with Central Indiana, but I have a lot of fundraising and gala event type experience. So that is an area that I know needs a lot of change. One of the things is location and food. You change that up as much as possible, and then people are happy usually. So that will probably be happening next year.
So. One of the reasons that we got so many an influx of volunteers is because Candy reached out to WDRV, and I don't know if any of you saw that, but after that aired, it was probably
a couple of months ago.
And it was like, it's hard to get the word out because you don't have the money, but local news outlets for free advertising.
Absolutely. And I have a marketing background as well, so I know how to use those resources. Yeah, there's easily a couple hundred people that had reached out. Harvest Homecoming reached out to me as well and said, hey, we want to help you make it successful, continuing forward and moving forward. In fact, our theme this year is New Beginnings, because that's how I feel about it. And I think a lot of other people on the committee feel the same. So. Was there, I mean, you know, this open conversation, obviously, was there any other?
No, I think, I mean, from my perspective, I think that the biggest, there was a lack of communication.
Mm-hmm.
I think it improved a little bit last year. But then things like simple things, for example, I'm coming down here last year from parade, and I noticed that half the parking lot entry was blocked off.
I'm sorry, half the what?
Half the parking lot entry of Wilkerson Park was blocked off.
Okay.
Well, when the guy got out of the car and walked around his tank, he was setting up as the announcer for the parade.
Oh.
I was like, didn't know that.
Okay.
It's like, ooh, hang on a minute. Like, we would have blocked that off. Like, and reserved a spot for him to park his equipment there. We know that. It's simple things like
sure.
that. When the porta potties got dropped off, you know, where are they getting dropped off, the placement, location, and timing. Last year, they set one right next to the Vietnam War Memorial. Needless to say, had that set there for very long, that would not have gone over very well.
Sure, I agree.
As a whole. So, just simple things like that mm-hmm. going through on some of those things. We've got some new reader board trailer signs that we tried to put out last year, knowing that the parade was coming. It wasn't a request of anybody. It was just, hey, let's put these out just to make sure, again, because as Crossing 31 is interesting when you close down basically every east-west
sure.
corridor through the town of Sellersburg for 2 hours, it causes a little bit of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So things of that nature from my perspective, just from a logistical and just general knowledge
okay.
standpoint is probably key. You know, if you have a conversation with your parade people on the throwing of candy, if they see people throwing candy and you got more candy and there's candy laying on the ground, don't throw more candy because it does make a mess. And I do get, actually I get a lot of complaints from the residents
okay.
on Utica Street. So it's just kind of not telling you not to, just kind of be mindful of it.
Sure.
You know, don't just dump it because you can. We do run a street sweeper after the event to try to clean up as much as possible. But obviously with as much that was thrown out there, it's a little bit challenging.
I can absolutely have a conversation with the person who's running the parade, which I think is, you know, Chris Fox.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he keeps
is he doing it?
Thank you, too, to discuss it. I'm also, I run a lot of the forms where people register for all of that, so I can actually put that in as a rule as well. Just be mindful that you're not leaving candy on the ground and have that be a rule that they have.
Like, I think the kids love candy. Everybody
loves candy.
Oh,
absolutely.
By no means must they don't.
No, I get it. I get it. Be mindful.
There's no mindful excessive amount of the stuff that gets thrown.
Absolutely, yes. I can add that on just for them to be mindful. But
then
also I will communicate that too with Chris as well, so he can communicate with them.
Maybe need volunteers like guys that follow the circus elephants.
Well, that's the thing, right? So I mean, I'll have, you know, the council obviously rides in the parade, and I've got, you know, we bring in all of our public works team to ride in there. Obviously, the police are doing traffic control, so they can't really participate a whole lot. You know, then we stage the street sweeper. And it takes a minute to get everybody back and go, and this, well, by the time it's over, they've been driving, you know, it's all been driven on for half an hour.
Right.
And in August, the roads are hot.
Yes.
And it's melty, and it's this, and it's that, and, you know, it probably takes a good hour and a half, 2 hours to run the streets before you get the roads cleaned back up afterwards. So it's just an excessive, just be mindful of the excess, I guess.
Yep.
As far as that goes. One of the things from an economic development thing that I noticed last year, there wasn't any or very many town businesses involved in the booth setup, it appeared, and especially in the food truck area. Like, obviously, it appeared the food trucks were all from out of town. A lot of them are unfamiliar. I think we had one or two that were local.
I don't personally run the food vendors. I know that a lot of the food vendors that have been there for a number of years. We open it up to all businesses.
Which is great. Again, I think from a marketing, a business building, brand building perspective to get into that stuff, but maybe you know, I'm sitting here thinking about, we've got quite a few new boutique stores that have opened just this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're small businesses. They're one or
some of those boutiques have actually already been reached out to. And that's another thing. A lot of the businesses in Selfridgeburg and businesses in general, when it comes to maybe not food, that's a little bit different because that's what they do. They're serving food, they have a food truck. But otherwise, all businesses that we approach for sponsorships are also set. We also give them the opportunity to have booths, so free with their sponsorships. If you guys would like to have a booth, it's probably been in the paperwork, I don't know, but you're welcome to have a booth there. I can tell you, having ran booths like that in the past from other businesses that I have worked with, being that marketing person, it is really hard to get people to stand in that booth. We require our booth vendors to be there for the duration of the festival. Obviously, we tell them, hey, bathroom breaks are fine, you know, whatever, but we need you to be there for the entirety of the festival, meaning your booth.
Just kind of an idea, right? I'm sitting here thinking, like, Freck and Mama over here, you know, it's her, she's got a couple of her girlfriends to help run it. Like, they're not going to close the store.
Sure.
They go set up for 3 days and celebrate. However, you know, could there be, like, on Saturday, just one day,
mm-hmm.
one day only, just town of Selfridgeburg businesses, and you have basically Selfridgeburg Main Street, and that's where they're able to come set up for free.
I think it's a great idea. I'll look into it. So, I really like it.
That way, it limits the time frame they have to be there. They can still participate. They can, you know, kind of build that connection, I think, between the community and the event. And, you know, they don't have to, it doesn't have to be just the boutique shop or the dentist. You know, maybe mm-hmm. they just line up. You have a dentist, a boutique shop, and maybe you've got Faye Dodo's who comes out for half a day and sells beignets or something, you know, and then you can mix them all in, but it's that Selfridgeburg Main Street, but these towns are limited, you know, these are...
I love the idea. I will say that in the past, we did have, like, what we call a business expo, and
I... Well, I stood out there a couple days.
So, then you know what it is, and that's actually the tent that we have that's usually over top of the picnic tables used to be our business expo tent. Businesses just kept dropping out and saying, hey, we just want to participate, we want to make money, we don't want to be there. But that's a really good idea. It's something that we can think about bringing back. I like the idea of showcasing, you know, having an area maybe for a few hours that we showcase businesses that don't want to be there for the entirety of the festival, but maybe want to be there for a few hours one day. I think that's a good idea. We'll look into it. We may not be able to do it this year, just full disclosure.
No,
logistically, but yeah, I think that's a really good idea, and I'll look into it. I actually have been doing the craft booth area for the last 5 or 6 years, and I took that over. So there are some businesses in Selfridgeburg that do have their vendor booths set up down there. I get names and addresses for everyone, so I can tell you there are residents that maybe don't have shops, storefronts, but I like the idea a lot, especially
for
ones that have
this. And it could be a deal where maybe those people could also have that storefront for a day.
Sure.
And the ones that do have a storefront, it's not a tax on them to close their store to go manage that for 3 days.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Good feedback.
The limiting factor on vendor booths is electricity.
That is a limiting factor. So,
there's not a great amount of amperage available at the park, and people come in. Like last year, somebody was doing a t-shirt burner.
Heat press.
Heat, and it was kicking everything off.
It blew out.
We don't let them have generators, even, you know, like a small one, but just because of the exhaust fumes.
For safety reasons. So the park doesn't have a traditional grid system out where we have the festival. We have had the Sphere Electric Company that is highly involved in the festival and huge volunteers. So that is a concern, but we can figure something out.
I think last year was better after we all had, I think, the conversation. I think a couple years ago, the first trip back.
Mm-hmm.
Just sitting back and watching, I think we discussed this about the sponsors and the lack of recognition for the town, I think, mm-hmm. in general, the town, you know, whatever you please, or you know, whoever.
Sure.
And there, a lot of that may have got addressed a little bit last year, which was good.
Is there a specific kind of recognition that you're looking for?
No, I think it was, like, they had sponsorship, and you obviously got a lot of in-kind donors, but there wasn't a sign, there wasn't, like, even at the luncheon, there was no comment made, not just about us, but anybody, really.
Sure.
As a whole, as far as for their contribution, whether it be financial or in-kind, there was no signage to be spoke of. I think there was some stuff on the luncheon pamphlet that was about the extent of any recognition that you would see from anybody, or, you know, what have you, you know. I'm not trying to speak for the police, but I'm going to, you know, I know they spent a lot of time and effort, and there's a lot of resource, and they've always had pool from other communities, whether it be the four-wheelers, the buggies, or what have you, to help assist with some of this stuff, and there's a lot of time and effort that goes into that, other than just seeing them at the site, kind of thing, so.
Chief, what is stuff with that? What is the sheriff's department's responsibility for a community park? Is that their park? Or through the jurisdiction of the commission?
It's actually their jurisdiction. We actually still, I mean, we take all the calls that's there now.
Do they provide any resources for celebrates as far as traffic control?
They do not.
By any deputies, any reserves?
I do it all.
So we do it all?
Yeah.
Out of jurisdiction?
Yes.
This year, I will say that I have reached out to the county, and they will be providing some officers to coincide with the sellers group.
And you realize without having a conversation with me, that causes a huge problem with you, right?
I have reached out, called the police department, I have called Chief Deputy Adams and tried to have a conversation. So, yes, I do. And an effort was made to reach out, and I haven't been able to get in touch with anyone.
I'm meeting with the sheriff next week, so it will be.
I am.
Meeting him.
Sometimes that's what it takes.
That's what it's going to take.
You know, it doesn't take a representative, it takes the man.
And part of that decision is that, you know, they are not going to charge us, so it would be less of a financial strain on the town to have some off-duty officers available there.
You realize the only ones that get charged are the ones actually doing your traffic. I have no problem whatsoever pulling every one of them, and we will do no traffic, and I won't charge you a bit.
Okay.
But have fun getting the people in and out of there. That's the only ones you get charged for. Every bit of the security at the park all night, I pay.
Okay, I would like for you to take a deep breath, because I'm not trying to step on toes.
You did.
I'm not trying to, and I did do good faith effort to try to reach out. That was difficult, and I apologize that I was not able to get in touch with you. It is a financial decision for the festival, more than anything else. And we don't want to replace the Sellersburg Police Department, because by all means, we want them to have a presence there, because these are their people in their town. And we can have a greater conversation. Perhaps we can have a greater conversation.
I'm having a conversation with the sheriff next week, and we will decide between me and him how it's going to go forward. On the police officer. When I got that call a while ago, that was the sheriff. And me and him is having a meeting tomorrow, or next week, me and him. And we will decide on how the officer. Having two departments under one vent does not work. For the simple fact, you have county and us right there. Who's in charge? They're going to have their rules, I have mine. It does not coexist that way. I have no problem turning the whole thing over to the sheriff's department at all. But having two there, just like I told the school when they started having SROs, and you have John and a county officer there. And then they get into back and forth, who is in charge? Well, this is at this school, and this is at this part of the parking lot. It does not work. But, yo, there's too many chiefs and not enough Indians, that's what that will be. And I'm not going to get into that with you. I'm going to get into that with the sheriff.
So, it sounds like there needs to be some decompression between the parties involved when we talk about public safety in the town and the county, which in the town, the chief is the executive law enforcement officer, and in the county, the sheriff Pagels is the executive law enforcement officer. There needs to be some deconfliction. Sometimes that may override
public safety, it doesn't mean that it can't happen. I think it's everyone's desired goal here. And we also have to understand, I just got done, in my capacity as deputy chief in Jeffersonville, where there's so many things that you have to go through, so many partnerships. Now, that's at a much larger scale than what we're talking about here. I know we're probably up against it time-wise, and I don't want to take any more time from the other council meeting. I think it's a great event. I know a lot of people in my district, I vote for people in my district.
And then you should, yeah, really.
I've always been that, it's never changed. They seem to be happy, I hear about our communications, and my response is, I think this is hard for some people to understand. My response is that is, for all sense of purpose, a event that's separate.
I know, but I didn't know if you knew what each one of them was. No.
That's what I'm glad to advise on. So the ATV comes out, that's all. ATV is separate.
I couldn't tell you who the cotton candy vendor is.
So if it's an ancient court, we can send it around. It's close to the site, or it's been split.
We do not. Oh, I bet it's for the lift stations.
And it could be the lift stations.
All the sewer lift stations.
That's why, like, I see, because there's like almost six total different ones. And ATV after that, for each one are split up, so I don't know. Because that's what it brings back to us. Hey, that's what I'm looking at.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Hey, that's what I'm looking at.
Unless I'm wrong, I mean, if you provide a lot when it comes to law enforcement and some of the things that we bring, I don't know. To me, $5,000 is a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, because I can say one myself.
Yeah, I see it.
I forgot to ask you.
My normal job, they have events like this every week. Depends on people that do this, you're basically operating off of volunteers.
100% volunteers.
The deconfliction and the planning purposes, for us,
we asked today simply to have better communication, as I had said before, to have better communication and to find out what are the pain points, which I just found one, that the town has. What can we do to make our relationship better? Because there has been times where it's been very adversarial. And I want it to be better, and I want it to be better going forward, moving forward for the future of the festival. I think that the festival is a good opportunity for the town. We bring a lot of recognition to the town. We bring a lot of people that aren't from the town to the festival. I think it's helped develop some growth that you have as well. People seeing the festival, I didn't know Sellersburg existed. Yes, it does. It's been here a long time. It's a great community.
And people don't realize it's out of the town limits. They think it's in Sellersburg. They don't know. They're not the last
people. People call us the town. Sellersburg puts it on.
Yeah. They think it's our event. So every complaint, whether it's porta potties, police officers, traffic, all those phone calls go to the end of the table to Mr. Smith, or Mr. Smith back there, or Mr. Miller at some point. And it is a small town, and we do hear that those complaints, and we try to diffuse those. And I think Charlie does an excellent job of diffusing those. And if you've ever put an event on and you're worried, I can tell you, you're worried about, especially a three-day event, not just a one-day event, you're worried about public safety as a chief. He's passionate about protecting people, and there's one thing that you don't want to hear about is, like in my case, an active shooter from it. Your biggest worries when it comes to protecting people is first and foremost, having fun and profit for some, not us or you all. For some is secondary to those concerns. So, and again, that is, the chief will tell you, while we do a lot of favors for the county, as far as calls for service, the chief will tell you that is their jurisdiction. And that's something that the chief is going to have to meet with the sheriff and work those, because those public safety plans have to be satisfactory for everyone, because the last thing that you want is to have an incident at your event, and there's no deconfliction, there's no planning, there's no EAP, there's not enough police officers there. That would be mass, that would be the end of Salisbury Celebrates.
Right now, my department is the one, y'all don't know, there has to be a whole plan written and sent off to Homeland Security up in Indianapolis.
I do know.
Okay, if I don't do that, it's our department, if I don't do that, there is no Salisbury Celebrates.
I am aware.
Okay.
So I think having those conversations again with the chief in the future, after the chief meets with the sheriff, are paramount to the success of your event. I think everyone here supports it, we have in the past. I don't think any requests would fall on deaf ears from any of us. I think everything would be taken into consideration. In my opinion, I mean, I'm only one person. I think y'all do a thing that I always like, not to have help and to run stuff by yourself, and it's tough, and you're like, hey, man. But if you don't do it, then the event dies. So I appreciate the effort and time that you all put into this to allow people, residents, visitors, and businesses to be successful for those 3 days. So I do very much appreciate what you take on to do that.
And moving forward, I just want to know, I guess, what is the best way to communicate? Would that be to communicate through Charlie, right? With logistics, obviously, but what is the best way to do that moving forward, I guess, is my question. Because I know that there are individual members even that may have concerns that want to address that or have a discussion about that. I'm happy to have those conversations, phone, email. I don't know what the best way is, so tell me.
Probably say, start out with Charlie, and then Charlie can relay the email to us, and then have you added onto the email list of conversation, and then they will, you know, discuss or, you know, some comments can be made. That's fair enough.
Anything else? I want to thank everybody for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate your time. Thanks again.
Yeah.
All right. Motion to adjourn. 6:00.
Thank you. Just take those while you're on your way.
I have done, and my department has done this every year since I've been chief, and I wrote this thing for something down here every year. And then I have to hear about it behind my back that someone has asked things. We've done it every year. It's just horseshit. Okay? See, it's not the meaning of the meeting. That's horseshit. So I call the sheriff. You won't see me or none of my guys. We won't be there. And I told Scotty that about 20 minutes about certain stuff. If he wants to be in here, he wants to be there. But I promise you, me or none of my guys will be nowhere near that park. And I told Scotty, I said, if you want it, you need to understand what we're doing. Because he's going to do the parking passes, he's going to go get all the money, he's going to set up all the different things.
Yes.
He's going to do it all. This is the stuff that we start planning on Monday of that week. We won't do it. And I told him that. And we're going to meet next week. And the sheriff knows, the one person who's in charge is going to be the sheriff. And I